What's up, comedy film nerds?
Hey, you're getting a special bonus ep.
It's kind of a themed something. We don't know when it's going to drop.
A theme wrap-up-y
summer.
Yeah, summer movie, post-mortem wrap-up.
We want to, we're getting into the end of the summer movie season. We're starting already get a taste of like Oscar contenders. So we wanted to kind of go through
what have we seen and what's been released
the
summer.
What happened this summer? Would we call it a good overall? Would you say it was a good summer?
You know, that's a good question because, and this gets to like, what is the summer movie season anymore? Because all of these big movies now are starting to move out of the summer. Like I'm looking at the summer movies list. Avengers isn't on it because it came out earlier. So I think as far as the summer season goes, it was a decent one, but things are moving out of it now.
Wouldn't you put Avengers Endgame in the summer, even though it came out early May, right?
Oh, no. I think it came out sooner than that.
Out April, maybe?
Aaron's left the room. How dare he? So, I'm going to look it up right now.
Aaron just leaves periodically.
Yeah, I know. He's been leaving a lot lately.
He's got a lot of
He's got a disgusted look on his face,
too.
He just want to be in the room with us.
I'm sick of this.
Yeah, that's exactly what he looks like. Yeah,
sick of these guys.
Yeah. And he's just got a curse on his lips every time he leaves.
A curse on his lips. Oh,
I don't know what we did to piss him off
so
much.
He's got a sour disposition.
Yeah, he does. He's got a puss on his face.
He really does have a puss on his face.
Okay. Now that just distracted me from actually looking it up. So that's the Aaron riff.
Yeah, Aaron, Avengers Endgame release date. I thought it was like May 2nd or 3rd.
Was that
Captain Marvel?
Yeah, it was definitely...
I would include all of May. I know technically...
April 22nd. Okay, you can include all of May. It still wouldn't have been in there.
Because hey, if you include all of May, that's Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Or no, was she March? Oh, God.
No, she was before. She was March 8th.
God.
So that's what I'm saying. These movies are getting pushed further and farther back.
Which in some ways is smart, though, because we've talked about this.
Smart.
Stacking them all in the summer is bad. Aaron, you okay, buddy? Yeah. You keep running out?
Yeah, it looks a little happier now, though.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I lost a contact lens during the show this afternoon. So,
that's what's going on.
That was a bit of an emergency, but I'm okay now.
Oh, wow. I'm glad to hear. Did you find the contact lens?
After, shining my light around underneath the desk here, yeah, I did.
So then you just...
Did Mark Ellis take it?
No.
Did you run out because...
I had to, wash it to put it back in, which is its own... Nightmare, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad things worked out, Aaron.
Man, that's good. I was a little scared.
We're a little worried.
Yeah, you just ran out of here.
Yeah.
Suspense, man. Sorry.
What if he knew the building was on fire but didn't tell us and just ran out?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I would not at all. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I'd be the last to know.
Yeah.
Aaron just runs out, let it burn.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's got headphones on. It's like everyone else is leaving. Like, no, the show must go on. I have to moderate these levels.
I have to go down with the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Like you should. Captain. You should. A podcast producer should go down with the studio, just like the captain of a ship.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in old seafaring laws. Old protocols, yes. Old nautical.
Yeah,
protocols. Because a podcast studio is a lot like a ship.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. You've got the sailors, the captain, you've got a mission.
Bandits.
We're constantly fighting other networks.
You've got torpedoes.
Yes. Got to change your flags depending on whatever port you're in.
Yep. Depth charges. And it makes
depth
sense.
Charges. Yeah. You've got tsunamis. You've got all kinds of stuff.
You know.
Scurvy.
Scurvy. Oh, there's so much. ATC has the highest percentage of scurvy of any.
Of all comedian-driven podcasts. Yeah, it's weird.
Every pod.
That's why Sideshow Network went out of business.
Oh, they all went from scurvy. They all did.
Yeah.
They all went.
It's, you know, they people don't get. You
and
need
syphilis,
citrus.
I think. Yeah. Some of them died from syphilis.
Yeah, from sharing a podcast microphone. So let that be a lesson, young podcasters.
Yes, listen closely to what were these tales of woe from the high seas of podcasting. Yeah, yes.
You know, don't make the same mistakes that we have.
When one of us dies, we get buried at sea.
Yes.
per nautical protocols.
And our network agreement.
Dead men host no shows.
Yeah.
Hashtag nautical protocols.
Yes. So, Graham, I'm looking at this schedule and really,
so we're saying it officially. So, like, Endgame and Captain Marvel were not.
Yeah, we're not summer movies.
Oh, they weren't summer. Yeah. Okay,
there
fair
were
enough.
Summer. Although you could say they were summer movies that weren't released in the summer.
Yeah, now we're getting into it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're right. Though you're right. It's not like it was 5-6 years ago where they would dump, you know, all the big budget movies in this 3-month window.
And if you were lucky, you'd get one or two superhero movies in the summer, and then that would be it.
Right.
And it wouldn't be every summer.
Right.
You know, you'd go. An entire summer without a superhero
movie.
When
they're doing three or four a year, you have to spread them out. And I think, too, that as we've talked about...
And that's just the Marvel movies.
Yeah, Marvel really got wise. The smartest thing... I mean, I remember 10 years ago, we talked about 300. They released it in March. And we were like, for years, we'd go do more of that. And Marvel, when it did 2 years ago with Black Panther...
Yep.
That was it. Now when Marvel did it and made all the money and went, oh, this was the number one movie for 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. It was competing against nothing.
Yep.
Everyone's going, oh, maybe we should release them sooner.
So, and I'm sure they went, oh, we should have put Men in Black in March. I'm like, yeah, it wouldn't have helped.
No,
so,
don't. Here's the
way. Hey, I'm a studio executive, so I'm always going to learn the wrong lesson.
Well, the lesson is don't make Men in Black.
Yes.
Don't do that. All right, so the first one was actually Memorial Day weekend.
May 31st.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Loved it. We all loved it.
Yeah, we really did. And the interesting thing was it didn't make as much money as the first one. I thought it was a better movie. It had more monsters, more Godzilla. Everything we wanted from the first one was actually in this movie. A couple of weird, quirky story things like... you know, the super valuable scientist. Why is he on the suicide mission when you have a boat full of soldiers? So things like that.
He wanted an honorable death, Chris. I don't fault the man. I think that also might be a nautical protocol.
Yeah, it might be a nautical protocol. It's like a captain has to go down with the ship, but you got to send the scientist first.
Always let the scientist take it first.
Yeah. So
why do they? Why can't? And this is a fair question. Why can't they be bullet sponges?
Yeah.
They got a couple of fancy degrees. They can't go out there and be first through the door.
Yeah, you know, well, Godzilla's changing all that.
You got to interpret that data while dodging bullets.
See? Yes. Aaron brings up a valuable point.
So Godzilla, King of the Monsters, kind of in a weird way kicked off the summer movie season, even though we had, you know, Captain Marvel and Avengers before that. I was a little disappointed that it didn't do better because I thought it deserved to do better. It was a fun monster Godzilla throwback. Even Neil said it's like it was really structured and felt like an old school Godzilla movie.
Yeah, and it had all the things that Neil pointed out in that episode, all the Toho stuff that we love.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I still think the last one was such a miss that there was no
hype. Soured people.
Yeah, there was no hype going into this. So that they hurt, their last movie hurt them. But this is still, if you have not seen, please do.
Right.
It's a blast. This movie is a blast.
Yeah, it's exactly what you would want from a Godzilla movie.
Now, counter-programming that same weekend was Rocket Man.
Yes.
Which I liked.
I liked it too.
I had a blast at that movie.
And I'm really glad that we had Tom Merritt tell us that, you know, don't expect a Bohemian Rhapsody. This is a musical that kind of fit in with...
Right.
Instead of, you know, hitting all the biographical beats, it's more about the emotion and what it would feel like to be Elton John, and it's set to his music. So, and I thought was a great description, because that's exactly what this movie was.
Yeah, it's not, if you went, the thing I said is like, if you went in expecting a kind of straightforward biopic, you weren't going to get it. So if you don't have that expectation, it's a really fun movie.
Right.
It is, it's a musical. It's like a fantasy version through the eyes of Elton John of what his life was like.
For sure. And then, you know, we were... And again, we're going to be skipping over a lot of movies.
Sure, we're just picking the highlights
picking the big ones. Dark Phoenix came out on June 7th. This one got savaged in reviews. People hated this movie. And I'm thinking, have you not seen some of the other X-Men movies? They are unwatchable, some of them. Some of them are great. I mean, I've never seen a franchise have such high highs and such low lows in, well, you could say Alien, but maybe it's not too much of an exception. But I really liked the intention of this movie and like how it really it tried to ground itself. It, you know, it showed the transformation of Sophie Turner's from Jean Grey to Dark Phoenix. And I thought it was interesting. And I love watching Michael Fassbender, James McAvoy. I thought they were such a great casting.
I really like this movie.
Yeah. So I thought this was fine. I mean, was it the best X-Men movie? No, but it wasn't the worst. I mean, I don't think it deserved as much hate as it actually got.
I put it as one of the better ones. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a cool storyline.
First Class is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah, First
Class
was great.
But this one
and
I
the Wolverine
was,
one.
Oh yeah, that was really good.
Logan.
Yeah.
Logan.
Logan. Yeah.
Wolverine.
Wolverine's horrible. The Logan.
Yeah.
The Logan one.
The Wolverine one that wasn't called Wolverine.
Yeah. That one. I think Logan is probably my personal favorite just because of all the crazy Japanese samurai stuff in it. But anyway, Dark Phoenix is...
Well,
that's not Logan.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was also Wolverine 2, which was...
Wolverine 2 was the one where he's in Japan and fights like the samurai robot.
Logan was the old guy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like them both.
All right, that's fair.
Okay. Logan 2.
Men in Black International.
Well, let me just say Late Night real quick. So
I missed that one.
I did see Late Night. I saw that and fun, you know, well-written comedy and that was worth seeing. It was good counter programming in a summer of, you know, the summer is always the big blockbuster. So
big budgety
stuff. It was a lot of fun. And then Men in Black, there was no way I was going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
I had no desire to see it. I'm glad I didn't see it. I maybe would watch. I don't think I could watch half of it on a plane.
It was one of those weird things where, you know, Hollywood does this. Like, we're going to spend a ton of money, and I don't know who in their right mind. If anybody thought that this movie was going to make money, they should be fired immediately.
Fired.
Stop being involved in making motion pictures because you have no idea what you're talking about or what you're doing.
Let me quote Al Pacino from Glengarry Glen Ross. Who told you could work with men?
Yeah. So it fascinates me that, you know, sometimes that these movies exist because they shouldn't. Because it wasn't like, you know what, we'll take a chance. We'll do a $5 million movie. You know, who knows how it'll do. Men in Black is easily $100 to $200 million that we're going to gamble an entire large studio budget on that's, you know, funded by hedge funds. But
it's not.
Yeah. But, and again, it's that kind of thing where, all right, well, we're going to make it in Men in Black. But here's the thing. The one thing that people love about these movies, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, we're going to make sure we don't have them in it. That's the key.
The key is the two guys with the most charisma that built the franchise.
Yeah, we're going to make sure they're nowhere to be
don't
found.
Don't get them close. Don't
but,
them
you know,
close.
Maybe we'll sneak in a picture of Will Smith or Tommy Lee just to say that.
Yeah, remember
Tommy
them?
Lee Jones, yeah.
That's a surefire sign of franchise is dead.
Yes.
It's like, remember that guy that you really wish was in this movie?
Right. Well, yeah. Remember that? I think it was the Independence Day sequel. They were like, all right, well, we're going to try to get Will Smith in this movie somehow. We'll just show a picture of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Child's Play. I'll tell you, this from the trailer, it kind of interested me because it felt like a really cool, modernized take, especially in a commentary on technology, but I didn't see this movie and it disappeared very quickly. And I have a feeling the trailer editor might have been a little more talented than the filmmakers because even from what I read about this movie, it didn't live up to the promise in the trailer.
And also recasting the voice when Brad Dourif is still alive seems odd.
That was a really...
I mean, he's the only thing that's branched all the movies together. And they changed, I mean, to Mark Hamill, who's an amazing voice actor.
Yeah, he is.
But weird.
Well, it's just weird. It just felt almost like more of a reboot than just a...
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then the next one, another sequel. I figured sequel, reboot, sequel, reboot, sequel, reboot. I mean, that's pretty much what, you know, the summer is now. Toy Story 4. You know, this was actually a really good movie. It was one of those movies that... I was skeptical on. I'm like, oh, four, how much more are we going to do? Is this really going to be entertaining? And yes. And in fact, our guest, Steve Simone, absolutely loved this movie and was thankful that we made him go see it. So it was fun. It was, you know, Pixar, they know what they're doing. And again, another movie that they just, you know, they nailed it for sure.
I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. You'll like it.
This is a movie I will watch on a plane and go, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because that character of Forky just, God, it was, I'm like, what are they going to do with a plastic fork? That's ridiculous. And it's hilarious. It's so good. They can add personality to literally a plastic fork with googly eyes and make you care about it. They can do that.
Pixar does.
Yeah. Yesterday, this is Danny Boyle's follow-up to 28 Days Later.
It's in the same universe,
yeah,
for sure. With the zombie apocalypse of races, yeah. Beatles music. I love this movie, yeah. And it was such a, again, I love when they sneak movies like this in the big summer blockbuster, because it is a great counter programming to it. It's a really fun, beautiful, funny, heartfelt, you know, movie, and it's a love letter to Beatles music.
Right.
And there's great jokes in it.
And it just looks fun. Like, it's just a fun time at the movies.
It is exactly it. It is a fun time at the movies, and you get to hear the Beatles music and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe there's an Oscar nomination or two out of this film. I don't know, because we haven't really gotten into the bulk of the Oscar picks yet, because they always dump them at the end of the year. But this movie really... If you didn't get a chance to see it, please do. It's a really excellent movie. I really liked it, you know?
So check that out. And also, Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, this was, I'll tell you, you know, when you have all of these movies from Marvel and you're doing it in phases and you're basically, you know, ending the Avengers franchise, you know, how do you do it and still have an entertaining superhero movie? I think they nailed both of them. Because it really felt like an epilogue to Avengers Endgame, and it also felt like its own story with Spider-Man.
It did have those things. I mean, I know when we talked about it on the regular episode, you liked it more than I did.
Yes.
I didn't dislike it.
Right, but it wasn't your favorite.
It wasn't my favorite. Like, A Homecoming, I think, was a better movie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had some decent parts to it, and... You know, if you're just a fan of that world and the universe, you're going to like it. Aaron, did you see this?
I did not. I'm not the biggest Spider-Man guy, and I'm still mad that they didn't hold the trailer till after Endgame so that didn't know whether he lived or not.
Right.
I mean, so that they'll never have that back in my heart.
Fair enough.
That's a good grudge to hold on. I mean, look, this incarnation of Spider-Man, I'll go see the next one,
sure,
whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I like this Spider-Man in the
Tom Holland does a good job.
Tom Holland does a good job.
Thank God we got rid of those Andrew Garfield ones. Oh my God, it was like, how much farther away from the actual character are we going to get?
Yeah, this is, you know, I like the reboot of Mary Jane, and you know, Jake Gyllenhaal was a great Mysterio.
Yeah, he was.
There's a lot of good stuff in it. I just think that a part of it is the Marvel world. They've set their bar pretty high now.
They have, yeah.
So when they kind of miss the mark a touch, it's pretty glaring, at least for me, you know? So, but it's still good, and I'll see another Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
For sure. And, you know, I'm sure he'll make some cameos in the other ones coming up, too. Lion King, this is the one I took for the team. And this was exactly how I thought it was going to be. Technologically, absolutely stunning. Story-wise, nothing, and a cynical and transparent money grab. It made a lot of money, so it's like, well, yeah, okay. But, you know, you're making a shot-by-shot remake that is literally adding nothing to the story or... anything. I think they added like one character that had two scenes, like the head of the hyenas. Like, well, why bother at this point? You've already made a shot by shot remake, and you've already cast everyone who sounds like the original voices. So you're not even trying. You're just literally remaking this movie shot by shot, note for note. And even like the remixes of the musical numbers, like, all right, well, we got to change up the songs. Nothing was better. Like, we just changed up the melody or the tempo or just, you know, certain, not even certain lines here and there, but like, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, when a song gets really popular, then a couple months later, there's like a radio remix or something like that. That's all this was. Like, oh, well, this, you've made nothing better. You're just changing it for no reason.
Yeah, it really was like, it was the thing we talked about, you know, Jungle Book, that was so smart and yes. was a reinvention mm-hmm. and got to see this classic in a different way. But again,
and went back to some source material that the original movie hadn't touched on.
Right. This is just like, yeah.
So it was,
it's the one thing that the Beauty and the Beast, remake, live action remake did right is at least added some new songs that were really, really good.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. This was just like, why don't I just go watch
the original?
The original yeah. from the 90s.
It actually made me want to watch the original because right. I'm like, oh, I could hear better versions of these songs and I could hear better voice acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like all the cast. They're great. But, you know, I think, I'd, you know, once Nathan Lane nails it, there's not, there's, why bother? Uh-huh. It makes no sense. Next movie was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is the one we split on. Mike and I were in the yes. Graham, you were firmly in the no category.
Yeah, listen to the spoiler up if you haven't, everybody, where yes. we really break it down. You can mm-hmm. hear Mike.
And it's interesting, as I'm hearing like the chatter periodically on the internet, like the different reviews and comments, it's all stuff that we brought up in, on both podcasts, for sure. Right. Like, and both sides of it, yep. too. Like it's certainly not happening in a vacuum, you know, mm-hmm. these comments. And they're all legitimate. The one thing I will, if Quentin Tarantino is listening... when you're responding to some of these comments, you're not really helping. You know, you're not making it more clear. You're not adding clarity. You're not really defending your positions very well. It's like there was something like something came out about like people were mad at how he portrayed Bruce Lee. And
Joe Rogan said that on his podcast.
Yeah, he responded by saying like, well, it's, you know, it's based in fact. And I took some, you know, dramatic license. Well, which is it? Those are two opposite things, is what you just said. It's well, if that's the case, then anything can be true.
Well, yeah, and that's part of it. Like, if he would have just said, look, this thing is based on yeah. a story that Hal Needham told me
yeah.
on the set of this movie, so...
Yeah, and like because everything that basically Quentin Tarantino heard about any of these celebrities is always going to be hearsay because he wasn't alive when right. any of this happened. Right. So it's always going to be an interpretation and hearsay. And just admit it. Just like, look, I made a fable. I changed a lot of stuff. This is, you know, kind of what, you know, my interpretation or what my vision of this time would have been. But it's not based in any right. stories or facts. Just fucking say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could take it for what it's worth. Done. Then you never have to answer another one of these questions.
I'm kind of getting annoyed and done with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, again, you're not helping. Just make it less complicated. It's easy.
Yeah.
One thing everyone could agree on with that movie is it could have been shorter.
Yes.
That, yeah, I think everyone could agree on that for sure. And I could say that about a lot of movies.
Well,
yeah. More. Yeah.
Goodfellas. Sorry. I had a cough there.
Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. A very long and awkward title because they don't want you for a second to forget which franchise this is.
No.
Because if it's Hobbs and Shaw and you saw The Rock and Jason Statham, you'd be completely confused as to what was going on and what characters right. they were playing.
They legitimately don't want you to think it's a reboot of Tango and Cash.
Right.
For all those Tango yeah. and Cash mm-hmm. purists out there that are yeah. just angling for a reboot.
Yeah, I liked this. I didn't think it was as good as the Fast and Furious movies, and I thought there were some missed opportunities. But all in all, like, I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, you know, it did what it was supposed to yeah. do. I had a lot of fun at this
film. It certainly didn't surprise me. I will say this. It would have been nice to have a moratorium on trailers. No footage in a trailer from the third act. So right. there is some stuff right. that's saved.
Yep.
Like I would have loved that helicopter car chain to be a surprise at the yeah. end. That yep. would have been cool. But like, because here's what happens when you do that in a trailer is it distracts me from watching the film because I'm thinking in the back of my head as the film's playing, well, they haven't gotten to this scene in the trailer yet.
Right.
They haven't gotten to this scene in the trailer yet because I know this is coming up. And Brightburn did that, which was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were literally taking footage from the last like 10 minutes of the film that were in the trailer. I'm like, what are you doing?
Conversely, when you're watching a movie and you're in the first act and all of the trailer stuff's done, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
I'm on board. Because
yes,
now, okay.
This is great.
You've set up the film for me. Mm-hmm. Now let me actually watch the fucking film.
Right.
So it's, I don't know if Hollywood has not gotten a memo on trailers for sure.
They should have hired Tarantino's trailer editor. Just to confuse us all.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Yeah.
That would have been better.
All right, Patreon sponsors, thanks again so much every month. We really appreciate it. And, it's a banked episode, but don't think we're forgetting about you. Oh, no. Here we go. Johnny Ruhlein promoting his novel Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon, both digital form and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. Fanboy Planet, a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comic news, movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com, fanboyplanet.com. Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com, coffeeoversuicide.com. Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The shows were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April 2018 with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. AliceFrazier.com with an S, AliceFrazier.com. The Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans, new episode recorded at San Diego Comic-Con with the artist Eric Joyner, known for painting robots and donuts together. TheArtPodcasts.com with an S, TheArtPodcasts.com. Antonio McFadden's 14th book is a gritty Australian noir, The Murder of Jeremy Brooks. Pits small-town Australian PI Dan McGuinness against corporate greed and corruption. A Sydney surgeon hires Dan to find her husband's killer. The cops think it was a mugging gone bad. She thinks it was a hit. More info at TonyMcFadden.net/JB. That's TonyMcFadden.net/JB. Thanks, Patronies. And Midsommar, I think this is a movie that you and I, neither one of us are going to go see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, from every time somebody talks about this movie, they get a little pale, a little flushed, and don't go into any specifics, but talk about how it's slow to get started, but then there's some seriously
nuts.
Disturbing shit in it.
It goes so, nuts. Yeah. I would add two to this list. I know we just picked the highlights. There's mm-hmm. another two dozen movies that got released. I would add The Farewell. I talked about it on the episode 477.
For sure.
It's a really solid movie. Now, it got mm-hmm. a limited release. It's an indie movie. But man, is it... That and Yesterday are probably my two favorite movies of the summer. Because, I mean, I loved Endgame, but that, like we said, came out in April. So,
well, those are good indie movies,
they're
sure.
Really good indie movies. And... You know, The Good Boys is coming out. We haven't, none of us have seen it. It hasn't been released yet.
No.
I mean, look, of this list that we talked about, you know, my favorites are Godzilla, Rocket Man, you know, Yesterday, and The Farewell. I mean, like, and then, you know, in a second list is Dark Phoenix, Late Night, and Fast and Furious, I guess, but.
Yeah, I mean, I would go, but that's, yeah, those are all
right.
Good movies for sure, especially for summer movies. I mean, the thing about summer movies, too, is we got to judge them on a curve.
Right.
You know, because they're all going to be popcorn movies with the exception of the counter-programming ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought Toy Story 4 was excellent, Rocket Man, Godzilla I thought was underrated.
Oh, that crazy self-defense movie I saw. Oh, I'm blanking on the title of that movie. The Art of Self-Defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved that movie. Mm-hmm. That's, again, it was limited release, mm-hmm. smaller, but fine, that movie.
And fun.
And super fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I had fun at Hobbs and Shaw. I had fun at, you know, Godzilla and Rocket Man. These are all big budget movies. But please, Yesterday, The Farewell, and Art of Self-Defense.
You know what's the two? Remember that weekend when there wasn't a lot out and it was just, I think it was when... Aladdin came out.
Yes.
And I texted you. I'm like, you know, there's two indie movies we should cover. We should do Brightburn and Booksmart. And,
yes.
And you love Booksmart, and I thought Brightburn was awful.
Yes, yes. Booksmart's another great one.
Yeah.
Another,
so check that one out.
It really was a summer of fantastic counter-programming.
Right.
Because, again, Hobbs and Shaw did its job. Spider-Man, yeah. You know, Dark Phoenix all did their jobs.
Yep. And Brightburn's another good example. R-rated horror movie, violent, not nearly as disturbing mm-hmm. as Scary Stories to Tell in the mm-hmm. Dark.
No, Booksmart was super funny. I forgot mm-hmm. about that. That's a really... Aaron, mm-hmm. what do you, of the summer, what stands out for you?
I mean, the only thing I saw, it's just been a weird year for me. Usually I see more movies, but and also because they didn't have the big Avengers movie in the middle of the summer or even right. Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. So I only saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the only, yeah, it's the only thing.
And that was probably forced because you knew Mike Schmidt was coming in and we were doing spoilers.
So it had like, a little bit to do with it, for sure. Yeah, but yeah. But also, I was thinking too just now, Tarantino usually releases in December. Do you think he released this intentionally in the summer because, A, it's kind of a summer, takes place in the summer?
Yeah.
And also, it's probably not going to get any Oscar noms.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is it's not like any other movie he's made. I mean, this one had very – and it sounds zero, weird to say.
So the end
out of his films,
times.
It had very little graphic violence in it until the end, you know. And, you know, I don't think that's ever happened before. You have 2 hours into a Quentin Tarantino movie without blood splattering somewhere. So I think that might have been intentional. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I don't think it was – Oscar Beatty because it didn't get released in the fall. I think it was more of a summer movie where, you know, might it get a nomination? Who knows? It might because Hollywood loves Quentin Tarantino and it's got two giant stars in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it had to be intentional, put it in the summer as opposed to the fall.
It was a good summer film. Mm-hmm. It was sort of it would have been, December would have been too big of a swing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think so too.
You know, because like you say, is it going to get Oscars? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But fine for the summer.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? Any final thoughts on Summer 19?
Summer 19, you know, I am looking forward to the next summer. You know, I'm really curious to see what Marvel's going to do. Like, I know they're shooting Black Widow right now, like what their next phase is going to be. And also, you know, what DC's going to do now that James Gunn's going to be doing the next Suicide Squad. So I think the next couple summers should be a little interesting. I don't think the pattern of some good movies, some unwatchable movies is going to change. No. I think there's always going to be those. I think there's always going to be that one movie. It's like every single summer, there's that one movie that's not good or bad. It's beyond that, where you think, why, how did anybody think this was a good idea? Like, we had everything from, like this year was Men in Black, but there was always everything from, what was the one that, where they were the dead police force with Val...
R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D., yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm like,
oh, my
what?
God.
Oh, my God. Wow,
bringing that up.
This?
Yeah.
So every summer, I feel like there's one of those where, like, it seems like such a complete insane misfire that, like, oh, well, somebody, you know, somebody should have gotten fired or is on the way out, and then someone's missing $200 million.
Right.
So, but like I said, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited to see what Marvel's going to do, especially now if they're going to take a break from Avengers movies. Are they going to lead up to some other type of spectacle? Mm-hmm. Like some other kind of big, giant team-up with the movies that they're going to be releasing next? So, I don't know.
All right. Not a bad, not a horrible summer. Decent.
No.
Like some fun, the big fun studio stuff and then some good indie stuff.
Although I will say I would have liked to have seen a little more indies, like because the studios are releasing so much popcorn stuff in the theaters, it's actually harder to get to the indies. But this is where streaming on demand and all of these places should be stepping up to get these indie movies.
Yeah.
But they're not getting the ink. They're not getting the play that these big ones are getting. So you have to, it takes more work to find them.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, too, with doing a day and date on an indie movie. Putting it at the theaters and putting it for VOD.
It's a great idea.
It's a great model, and I think it attracts a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I for sure would have seen Yesterday if it was a day and date, or right. Booksmart, yeah, or The Farewell.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, great little Summer 19 wrap-up.
Yes.
Aaron, thank you for being on the program.
And for being here in the summer.
Yeah, thanks for not... Thanks for not running out for the whole episode. Thanks for coming back.
I'm glad you got both contact lenses matching now.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't have to go to the contact store in the middle of the episode. Contact store, that's a real place.
The contact lens store.
The contact lens store.
Yeah.
Outlet mall.
It's right next to the Sam Goody at the mall.
I can't record this show with an eye patch on, but there we go. Nautical protocols again.
Oh, it is a nautical protocol. I think you should always wear an eye patch, quite honestly. I think that should be a new nautical protocol.
And you should have a parrot on your shoulder.
Arr, ATC, there she blows.
All things piratey.
All things piratey. When you think of the high seas, you think of Burbank. You think of landlocked Burbank. Well, that's our episode. Aaron, thank you so much for all of the all things comedy nautical protocols.
Dive.
See, all my tour dates and everything are at grahamelwood.com. And, of course, my left-leaning socialist ramblings of the political vigilante. You can see all that if you go to grahamelwood.com.
So, and I don't promote my website very much, but I realize I probably should. It's got my Twitter feed and links to all my work. It's go to chrisjmancinionline.com. Somebody took Chris J. Mancini. I had to add the online just to get the URL.
Oh, yeah.
So go to chrisjmancinionline.com, and you could follow me on Twitter and anywhere else, and you could see what else I'm working on. Thanks, everybody.
That's our summer wrap-up 2019. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Following nautical protocols.
Arr.